אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
And we are joined now by Shane Desiatnik from the Australian Jewish News. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Mitch.
Let's begin with a story about the Israeli speaker, Professor Moshe Farchi, who was disinvited from a conference in Australia.
Sure. So the removal of an Israeli speaker from a conference on the Gold Coast has sparked an Australia-wide uproar. Dr. Moshe Farchi, a world-renowned expert on trauma and mental health, who is a reserve lieutenant colonel in the IDF's home command, where he's a senior mental health officer, he was disinvited from the frontline mental health conference organized by the Australian and New Zealand Mental Health Association just days before his scheduled keynote address in the last week. The decision was made due to pressure from pro-Palestinian activists. The organization's CEO, Sam Stewart, said the decision was due to safety reasons. He explained the organizers received numerous emails about Professor Moshe's attendance at the conference, some of which were quite threatening and of a serious nature, he said. Zionist Federation of Australia President Jeremy Liebler urged the organization hosting the conference to apologize and warned against the perpetuation of intimidation tactics. Let's be clear, Dr. Farchi wasn't cancelled because of anything he has said or done. He was cancelled because of the threat of violence of a bigoted few, Liebler said. He said, it's a sad irony that a mental health organization would give in to bullying tactics. Mm. Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council Executive Director Colin Rubenstein added, the conference management abetted the discriminatory intent of a small number of pro-Palestinian activists who were determined to target any and all Israelis for exclusion. Farchi did speak at two events in Melbourne last week organized by Zionism Victoria, one for members of the Jewish community and one for mental health professionals. Zionism Victoria Executive Director Zeddy Lawrence said it was a travesty that more mental health professionals have been prevented from hearing Dr. Moshe Farchi speak.
So according to the CEO of the Australian New Zealand Mental Health Association, Sam Stewart, the organizers received numerous emails about Professor Moshe's attendance at the conference, some of which were quite threatening and of a serious nature. So Shane, I think it's the first time that a speaker is excluded from a conference since October last year.
I think it's the first in Australia that we've heard of an Israeli specifically being excluded. Okay. for no other reason, really, that mm-hmm. you know, he's an Israeli.
And in a similar topic, the JCCV suspends ties with Islamic Roof Body. Shane, what can you tell us about that?
So the Jewish Community Council of Victoria has announced it will suspend relations with the Islamic Council of Victoria and has called for government funding to the Islamic Roof Body to be frozen. The milestone decision to pause ties came after, quote, malicious and outrageous remarks by the Islamic Council of Victoria, including an attempt by its president, Adel Salman, to justify the October 7 pogroms in Israel. Salman told ABC Radio National on February 28 it was, quote, absolutely legitimate for the Palestinians to try to break the siege of Gaza, for the Palestinians to rise up on October 7th. After Jewish communal leaders expressed their revulsion at those comments, Salman softened his stance, stating on Facebook that the Islamic Council of Victoria condemns the killing of innocent civilians on October 7th, just as we condemn the killing of innocent civilians by Israeli forces before and after October 7th. He said. However, the Islamic Council of Victoria's reposting of a statement of support appeared to show the organization hardening its attitude again, titled, quote, Zionists can go to hell. The online statement said Salman has taken an ethical and righteous stand, and he's not the only one who recognizes the legitimacy of the Palestinian resistance. In an Islamic Council of Victoria media release on March the 2nd, Vice President Mohammed Mohideen described the Jewish community's opposition to Salman's statements as an Islamophobic smear campaign.
And some remarks made by the Islamic Council of Victoria that brought the JCCV to suspend ties with the organization. You can read more about it on this week's edition of the Australian Jewish News. Moving on to a different topic now, Shane, an International Women's Day on March the 8th.
Yeah, so we have a front page about it. It just goes over a few different perspectives. Of course, there's been last week an initial UN report that has found clear and convincing information that hostages held in Gaza are subjected to sexual violence. The report was based on the findings of the UN Special Representative on Sexual Violence in Conflict, Pramila Patten, and her team who visited Israel from January 29 to February 14.
Shane, let's hear what Pramila Patten had to say at the UN. Here it is.
We also found that there are reasonable grounds to believe that conflict-related sexual violence, including rape and gang rape, occurred during the 7th of October attacks in at least three locations, namely the Nova Music Festival site and its surroundings, Road 232 and Kibbutz Reim. And in most of these incidents, victims were first subjected to rape and then killed. And at least two incidents relate to the rape of women's corpses.
And that was Pramila Patten. Shane?
In Australia, there's also been Jewish community leaders expressing outrage at the UN and feminist organizations, many of them for failing to adequately condemn Hamas's sexual violence or even raise it on their social media posts or websites. And of course, Jewish Community Council of Victoria CEO Naomi Levin commented, you know, of course, it took the UN 5 months to confirm what has been so comprehensively documented in Israel, that there is clear and convincing information that women were subjected to horrifying sexual violence on October 7. So we've got a few more perspectives from different people from all parts of the community, including, you know, the Jewish Orthodox Feminist Alliance as well. Interesting to reflect on this on International Women's Day, which was on March the 8th.
Speaking about events, let's go back to last Saturday where we had the Mardi Gras in Sydney.
So, of course, in Sydney, there was the Mardi Gras. And despite being attacked by radical fringe groups like Pride in Protest and being forced to fend off hateful anti-Semitic attacks since October 7, the Jewish LGBTQ plus group Dayenu enjoyed its largest ever Mardi Gras parade appearance. With their rainbow stars of David blazing, Dayenu proudly marched down Sydney's Oxford Street on Saturday night in the televised event. Its president, David Clarnett, said, "For the first time in the 18 years I have been involved with Dayenu at Mardi Gras, the event this year stopped being a place of inclusion and safety, and complex planning was required to protect our participants. But even with these new measures, some participants pulled out for the fear of their personal safety." Mm-hmm. But look, they still had a record a turnout. And the co-CEO of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, Alex Rivkin, became that organization's first leader to march in the parade, an invitation he accepted with no hesitation and with a deep sense of honor. Mm. He said, "If my presence there could make someone feel more loved, more accepted, more safe, then how could I not march?"
And to finish off, let's talk about the United Israel Appeal with their gala events in Sydney, Melbourne and Perth this month.
Yeah, so UIA New South Wales last Sunday and UIA Victoria in Melbourne on the March the 7th hosted their annual gala events. More than 1,000 people attended each. And they both had the same speakers. So panel discussion was with UIA CEO Yair Miller. Jewish Agency for Israel Chairman Doron Almog was the major guest. And he discussed, obviously, his experiences and the amount of nonstop response work that the Jewish Agency has done and is still doing in partnership with UIA. Mm-hmm. There was also Stephen Lowy, the UIA World Board of Trustees chairman, making an address and thanking all the supporters. And other guests were Kibbutz Be'eri massacre survivor Daphna Admati, who lit a candle of honor of those who lost their lives since October the 7th. She said, although they hit us hard, they cannot extinguish the light within us. And Michal Uziyahu from the Gaza-adjacent Eshkol Regional Council, she recalled being in the bomb shelter with her sons on that fateful day. We didn't choose October 7, she said, but we will become stronger and better as a result of our response.
And this is the 2024 Gala event by the United Israel Appeal, the UIA. And this year's theme is called Rebuilding the Dream, Uniting Hearts, Rehabilitating Israel. Shane, anything else before we finish off?
And to finish off, JNF Australia has announced the appointment of Doron Lazarus as its new CEO. Now, he replaces Dan Springer, who stepped down in January after more than 10 years in the role. Lazarus most recently served as CEO of Save a Child's Heart, and previously before that with Magen David Adom Australia. Also warmly welcomed was the new Israel emissary, or Slicha, Sarah Vanunu.
Okay, Shane Desiatnik from the Australian Jewish News. Thank you so much for your time.
Yep, thanks very much.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.